This subject really is a huge one. It's one we don't talk about too much, perhaps because it's not very popular these days. But I think it's time to talk about it. But as I said this morning, I want to go back to core principles that we find in the Bible. I find that actually this congregational vision, which is expressed through commitment to a local church, I personally find it very inspiring. Being a local church that is committed to following Jesus together. But I have to say, it's a vision which is not without criticism at all. And one of the common criticisms is this. We are stuck. Oops. You. Membership isn't in the Bible. I'm already a Christian. I'm a member of the body of Christ. Why do I need to become a formal member of a local church? So this is a question which over the next few weeks, as I say, omitting Christmas, I will seek to address and to explain why within a congregational church, in fact, even for it to exist, membership is a very important thing. But it is true that becoming a member of a local Baptist church does not make you a Christian any more than being in a garage makes you a car. You may have heard that before. Also, if we just move on to there, in fact, we do not see formal membership lists in the New Testament either. Even though I think we have to say that we do see defined Christian communities. And it's also true that at least on the surface of things, formal church membership can sound a bit like joining a social club or even a political party or even something like signing up to the gym. Surely we say, well, perhaps not the gym. Surely we say church is far more than that. And indeed it is. Being part of the church, the body of Christ, is not a club. It's being part of a divine community. In the Bible study at the house group this week, we were looking at 2 Peter chapter 1. We participate in the divine nature, said the Apostle Peter. We are part of the body of Christ, designed by God himself. So that's why I want to begin by looking to see what the Bible, in fact, does say about membership, because it does have quite a bit to say about it. My aim is to demonstrate over this series that the way Baptist churches function is not something that is just arbitrary. It's not a carnal thing, nor is it unbiblical, but it is a particular expression of core principles that we find in the New Testament. So let's turn to our passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Of 3 points, the first one is that membership means belonging. Secondly, membership as purpose or function. And thirdly, membership as caring. And in talking about these core principles, we're not talking about the formal membership aspect of it. So let's look first of all at verses 12 to 13, membership as belonging. The first thing that we see is that in fact to be a Christian means to be spiritually a member of the body of Christ. And in this chapter, Paul uses a very powerful little metaphor to illustrate what it means to be a member of the Christian community. He says, it's like a human body that has many parts or many members. We find in the older versions of the translations of the Bible, it says members. The NIV uses the word parts. Verse 12, and this is from the ESV, which uses the word members. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one, so it is with Christ. Membership, being a member of the body of Christ, is very firstly about belonging. And it's about belonging to Christ, belonging to Him. Because as Christians, we are member of His body. And then in verse 13, Paul tells us how we become or became members of this body. He says, "For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, and we were all given of the one Spirit to drink." We become members of His body through faith in Christ, through turning away from our sins, through repentance, through trusting in Him. Again, maybe not so popular, this vocabulary these days, but maybe it should be that we are actually saved. We are saved. That's a question to ask ourselves, actually, deep down in our hearts. Do we know that we are saved? Do we know that we belong to Christ? That we are spiritually part of His body? We can be formally part of a church, but not spiritually part of His body. So I think when we understand membership in these terms, it at once moves us away from thinking about membership of a church as anything like just joining a club. A club, of course, will give us a sense of belonging because there's a shared common interest, whatever that might be. But belonging to the body of Christ is something much deeper than that. In fact, Paul says it is like being part of a physical body that has hands and feet and ears and eyes, all distinct parts, and yet they are all inseparably one and part of one whole, one body, as it is sometimes called, the mystical body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ, a divine organism created and sustained by God Himself. C.S. Lewis said in his essay on membership, "The church is not a club, but a living body in which each member has a unique place and identity." To be in Christ is to belong to this living body. It is central to our identity as Christians, and our identity is defined by our relationships with Christ and with one another. We carry different identities in our lives. We may be a mother, father, son, a daughter, brother or sister. They're identities, aren't they? We may carry identities in what we do. It might be that we are, some sort of CIO or electrician or gardener, whatever it is. But to me, a member of the body of Christ is to transcend all these things. This identity transcends social status, ethnicity, or our background. We're defined first by being members of the body of Christ. And of course, this membership of being members of his body has to work out in real and visible relationships. Rather, it's not just a private thing. Paul reinforces this in Romans chapter 12, where he says, "So in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." Membership as belonging. Let's think secondly about membership as purpose or function. Paul uses the metaphor, of course, of the human body again, to show this time how the Christian community is intended and designed to function. Let's just read a few verses 14 and 15. "Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body." Of course, we say the foot and the hands have very different functions. It's a very simple thing to understand. Yet, they are both equally part of the body. Chapter 12 as a whole emphasizes the diversity that there is within the church, the diversity of spiritual gifts, the diversity of callings. He mentions at the end apostles, prophets, teachers, administrators, and more besides. Of course, not everyone has the same role, but everyone is essential. In verse 18, it says, "But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be." So the foot doesn't cease to be part of the body just because it isn't a hand. No believer loses their place in the church because they don't have gifts that others have. It's an extraordinary thing. The human body is an extraordinary thing. It's an extraordinary thing how coordinated in God's design our human bodies are. Even a simple task of walking requires, of course, the legs and balance and the ears and the sight all working together, and we don't even think about it. Or just catching a ball means that the eyes and the brain and the muscles are all coordinating together at just the right moment. Human beings can achieve incredible feats, acrobatics, flying aircraft, performing delicate surgery, and many, many more, all the members of the human body working together in harmony. And even when our bodies are not working so well, we still are able to do these simple things, which in fact are amazing things. And actually, Paul uses this illustration to show how he understands the church as the body of Christ should be operating together with many different parts and yet in unity. And I think from this we learn, first of all, that membership is not intended to be a passive thing, but is intended to involve participation. The second thing we learn is that being a member, put it a different way, each member is essential. for the functioning of the whole. And thirdly, God has given each member gifts to serve him. The early Baptist churches were clear that membership meant more than just attending. Going back a few hundred years to the 1644 First London Confession of Faith, says, thus being joined, every church is a body consisting of members, united and knit together in one by the power of Christ, for the enjoyment of communion with Christ and in mutual edification of each other. Membership understood as mutual edification. In other words, purposeful participation, each member contributing to the life of the body. But let's look thirdly at membership as care. So finally, Paul shows that membership is not only about belonging, it's not only about purpose, but it's also about caring for one another. Of course, we sort of know that, don't we? Let's read these verses 21 to 27. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable, we treat with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern one for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. And now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Paul's point is clear, isn't it? We need one another. And to quote C.S. Lewis again, he said, the Christian is not called to individualism, but to membership in the mystical body of Christ. We are called to live in interdependence, not in isolation or not in a strong independence. And this interdependence is expressed through mutual care, and in particular, which Paul points out in these verses, for weaker members, or maybe those who are less prominent. Because the scripture reminds us that every member matters. And why does every member matter? Because every member is created in the image of God. And because Jesus died, gave up his life, and paid the price for every member. The way which we treat one another is a reflection of the way in which we regard him. And as I mentioned before, this interdependence must be something which is visible. This is a key principle of being a member of the body of Christ. Put it like this, we're meant to show up for one another. The Christian faith was never meant to be a private affair, but something which is embodied in Christian community, expressed through our presence and sustained by our commitment. So we've explored these three principles of belonging, first of all, belonging to Christ's body, being baptized in one spirit. Secondly, purpose or function, that we've been given gifts to serve him. And may I just add, whatever age we are, that of course when we're older we can't do what we used to be able to do. But sometimes Even just our presence or an encouraging word does far more than you may think. Thirdly, caring for one another and in mutual edification. So these three truths are truths about being members of the body of Christ. They're biblical, as we can see. They are foundational. In fact, they are foundational to all truly Christian traditions and denominations, but they are expressed in different ways. And I will finish just in this point for us to think about. The Baptist approach is an attempt to align as closely as possible with these New Testament principles. And this is what we will be exploring in coming weeks. Amen. We're now coming to the table of the Lord to share in communion and the bread and the wine together. We've been talking a lot about his body, but of course it was his physical body that he laid down for us, and the communion is all about remembering this morning.